The five governing principles. Two, cultivating a worshipful heart and intense passion for his presence. Now, this principle is for raising breakthrough believers will allow the arrowhead leader to be surrounded by a company of people who love God and who are true worshipers in the spirit. Those who know how to be tender in the presence of God and who are pliable to the dealings of the Holy Spirit are the safest ones to have around. You know, that's much of what, you know, Apostle was saying, you know, tonight about, you know, how we are supposed to really have the spirit of the leader. And so when a person is really, you know, really love God and true worshiper, they're easy to, you know, conform to whatever it is that God speak to them. We're going to look at a few things here. They are so yielded in their hearts that there'll be protection in times of need or confusion. They will be able to hear God and push through in the spirit, bringing deliverance in different situations. We often use other measurements when looking for a potential leader without realizing that whoever we choose who is not connected to God will connect to something else in the future. His wrong connection will contaminate the spiritual lives of those who genuinely love the presence of God and who want the depths of the things of the spirit. So when a person doesn't connect with the leader, they're going to connect with something else or somebody else. And how many of you know it's going to contaminate the lives? It's so much easier when you have people who really connect to you. It's so much easier to lead, you know, the rest of, you know, the congregation. But when you got folk, they connecting to this, they connecting to that, and then they contaminate the people that you're leading. It's so much more difficult to get God's kingdom agenda over than it would be when people really connect the way that they should. All right. In 2 Chronicles 29:11, the priests and the Levites were chosen to stand before him and were given a place of honor in his presence. So 75% of the ministry is Godward and 25% is toward man. So a whole lot of, you know, what we do has to be really, we have to take the time with God. This is something that Apostle is, you know, he's been really trying to get in us and get us to understand. You know, we have to have that hunger for God, because we're not going to be able to really do ministry if we're not taking that time with God, taking that time in the Word, allowing God to do what he need to do in us. And, you know, if we doing so much time. I think it was R.W. Shambach wrote a book on how to cast out devils how to work miracles, cast out devils and still go to hell. Yeah, because, you know, people are so busy, you know, trying to do the work of the ministry, they ain't take no time with God. You know what I'm saying? So 75% of ministry is Godward. You know, God told, remember Moses, when Moses' father-in-law came, talked to him and told him about to get these other men so that they could help him to carry out the vision. He told Moses, because you need to be Godward. You need to be on your face talking to God. You know, you don't need to be involved in all this stuff that's going on between the people. Let these men. That's when Moses, you know, got to 70 and he began to release the spirit that was upon him. That's something how God told him, say, release the spirit that's on you, on them. He didn't say nothing about, you know, I'm going to release the spirit that's my spirit on them, because Moses already had the spirit of God. So when Moses released that spirit that was on him, on them, they began to see what Moses could see.
Yes, right.
You understand what I'm saying? So that they could better, you know, do the ministry that they need to do. But Moses needed to be more Godward.
Yes.
He needed to be more on his face with God. Okay. If we can find pastors and leaders living in this dimension of worship and honor, we will have a better representation of God and his presence through these lives. Our lives should become channels for his grace and his presence to flow through. Those who are true worshipers are sought after by the Father. He will reveal the secrets of his heart to them. And as he did with David. So God often releases his favor upon them to build them as an enduring house and be identified with him. Jesus was called the Son of David. Now, looking at Isaiah 6, you know, we can see the power of a worship and yielded heart. Now, because I want to really look at something here. You know, when you first read that scripture, you know, it says, in the year that King Uzziah died. And then, you know, we can look at that and we say, you know, Uzziah really got a vision, a fresh vision of the Lord Jesus Christ. He got a fresh vision of Jesus. But we have to really look at what that scripture says before then. But let me read this right here from Habakkuk 2:1. It says, I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he shall say to me. And what I will answer when I am corrected. Now, you know, this man, he was actually positioning himself, you know, to receive God's correction, you know, knowing it was going to give him a keener insight into what God was saying to him. But when Isaiah went to talking, when he went to saying about in the year that King Uzziah died. Now, when you think about it, why did he even mention Uzziah or Uzziah? Why did he even mention him? You know, why he couldn't just couldn't start talking about, you know, how he saw his vision. You know what I'm saying? But the significant part of mentioning King Uzziah was because Isaiah didn't really even get a vision of the Lord until Uzziah died.
Yes, sir.
All right. So now, when you think about it now, I looked and I looked to see who Uzziah was. Now Uzziah, he was a king. He was a descendant of David. Not only that, but Uzziah also, he was 16 years old when he became the king. 16 years old. So now 16 years old becoming a king, you know, he had to depend on God. So he depended on God for everything. So in 2 Chronicles 26:5, the Bible says, as long as he sought the Lord made him to prosper. So God was blessing him. God was blessing him and that sort of thing and stuff. And then and as God was blessing him, now Israel became economically sound. They became militarily sound. I mean, the people prospered under his leadership. But something happened in the 16th verse or the 26th chapter of 2 Chronicles. The Bible says that when he was strong, his heart was lifted up. Mm-hmm. All right. So his heart was lifted up. What happened to him? And an apostle was talking about it tonight. He was saying that, you know, God can't really trust you if you're full of pride.
That's right, sir.
So what happened to this guy? It says in the 16th verse of that 26th chapter says, but when he was strong, his heart was lifted up. Pride came in to his destruction. And he transgressed against the Lord, his God, by entering the temple to burn incense on the altar of incense. He's the king. He's not the priest. But see, you got to watch this now, because he had so much success. He got lifted up in pride.
Yeah.
Now think about it. Okay, 16 years old, you know you can't accomplish the thing that you need to accomplish, so you got to depend on God. So he's humble during this time. But as these accomplishments begin to mount, all of a sudden he gets full of pride.
Uh-huh.
And so he goes into the temple to burn incense. It's not his job. So in verse, I think it is 19. I think it's verse 19. Verse 17. Let's see. Yeah, verse 17, it says, and Azariah the priest with 80 other courageous priests of the Lord followed him in. They confronted him and said, it is not right for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord. That is for the priests, the descendants of Aaron, who have been consecrated to burn incense. Leave the sanctuary, for you have been unfaithful and you will not be honored by the Lord. So now he gets upset because they approach him, because, you know, he's big and mighty. So many things that the Lord have done through him. That's why we can never allow Satan to rob us just because we accomplish things. And whatever we accomplish is because God did it.
Yes, sir.
It's not because of what we've done. It's because of what he's done.
Yes,
all right. So then in verse 19, it says, then Uzziah, he was furious, came furious. And he had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was angry with the priest, leprosy broke out on his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord beside the incense altar. So he became angry. How many know pride always justifies itself?
Yes, it does.
A proud person blames everyone else while excusing themselves. So Uzziah direct his anger at the priest, but the problem was deep within himself.
Yes.
So now why am I mentioning this? Now, because we need to see why he said in the year that Uzziah died. Because now Uzziah he represented pride.
Yes.
So in the year that your pride dies, you're going to get a fresh vision of Jesus.
Oh, hallelujah.
Yeah. Hallelujah. You understand what I'm saying? You see, I'm talking about as long as you full of pride, God, the pastor just finished saying it, God's not going to really reveal himself to you. When you're full of pride and that sort of thing and stuff, God is looking for the humble.
Yes,
you know, where he can use and they'll remain humble.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So he goes on. Watch this. He goes on. Let me say this. So the worshiper must not become contaminated by any earthly associations or distractions, no matter who we are connected to and have fellowship with. Our personal revelation of God must not be marred. So he said, in the year the King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, lofty and exalted, with the train of his robe filling the temple. So the worshiper must know how to discern his own spiritual state when he comes into the presence of God. Now watch him. Watch Isaiah here in Isaiah 6 and 5. Then I said, woe is me. You see what he's saying?
Yeah.
Because I am a man of unclean lips. See, when you come into the presence of God, see, especially when you understand that you're nothing apart from God.
That's right.
Oh, my God. When you understand that, hey, man, it's because of him I live, I move, I have my being, and I'm nothing without him. So when he came into the presence of God, he began to see his shortcomings. He began to see his soul wounds.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And see, he went to say, I'm a man of unclean lips. I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of glory. See, I mean, he got this revelation of the Lord, but amen. But in his presence,
yes,
in his presence, amen, you know, you see your wretchedness.
Yes,
you. Ooh, when his When we begin to see his majesty and his oh my God, and we begin to see his magnificence, and then it causes us to see, you know, how undone we are. Yes, sir. And how incapable we are without him. And man, God loves it when we begin to share with him our need for him and our desire for him and how I can't do it without you. Yeah. Oh, he loves it. That's when he shows himself strong to us. Hallelujah. Yeah. But we got to always have this in our mind that I can't do it without him. I can't live without you. I can't move without you. I can't breathe without you. I got to have you. Hallelujah. Yeah. And when you got, I'm going to tell you something. When you got this here, when you have this, you are valuable to the leader. Because guess what? Whenever you get out of line, the Holy Spirit can speak to you and you'll jump right back in. But if you're full of pride, the first thing you want to do, you want to do your own thing. See, all of a sudden now, the voice of God, you can't hear the voice of God through your pastor no more. Because you feel like, hey, you've arrived already. Hallelujah. And so you become dangerous to the work of God. So when you remain humble, see, a worshiper, that's what God calling for. The Bible talks about God is looking for true worshipers, those that will worship him in spirit and in truth. So a true worshiper, the leader can really accomplish some things. So the worshiper must be overwhelmed by God consciousness rather than sin consciousness. He's got to be overwhelmed with God's grace and God's mercy and God's love for him. You understand what I'm saying? Where he understands that it's the grace of God. If not for the grace of God, I wouldn't even be here. You got to know it. It's by the grace of God that you're here. You understand? Hallelujah. So now, the worshiper, he must be overwhelmed by a God consciousness rather than sin consciousness. Most believers have an inability to deal with sin in the presence of God. They choose to become condemned and shy away from his presence altogether. But Isaiah reached forward towards the throne as this is the throne of grace and not of one of judgment. My God, you know, as the apostle, he's talking about the gospel of grace, the grace of God. And then the faith, you know, it takes faith to access. Man, it's, you know, my God, I mean, it opened up a whole new world to you, you know, because when we were walking, you know, by the law, and we did it for years. I mean, walking by the law and that sort of thing, and being condemned, and you know, you didn't even want to pray. Didn't want to pray because, amen, you done made so many mistakes. My God. And then, you know, you understand what I'm saying? Then, you know, you do pray, and then you done messed up again. And then all of a sudden, you know, you got to go back to God. Yes, Lord, my, I don't know if I even want to pray. Praise God. But Isaiah, he realized that this was a throne of grace and not one of judgment. So believers must be taught. Hallelujah. They must be taught how to approach God with righteousness, as he has the power to forgive and cleanse those who come to him with a pure heart of repentance. So, you know, we're the righteousness of God. Thank God we're the righteousness of God. We are the righteousness of 2 Corinthians 5:21. He that knew no sin became sin that we might be made the righteousness of God. I am righteous. So whenever Satan tries to make you feel like, you know, you're a failure, you're no good and that kind of thing and stuff, just take him to 1 John. Excuse me. 1:9. Bible says, if I confess my sin, he's faithful and just to forgive my sin and cleanse me from how much unrighteousness? All unrighteousness. So if I'm cleansed from all unrighteousness, that means I'm righteous. You understand what I'm saying? And you got to have that. You got to know, like Apostle was saying tonight, you got to know who you are. You can't be guessing. You got to know. I'm righteous. And when Satan tried to bring up your past, you let him know that's the past. That's the past. That's not who I am. That might have been what I did, but that's not who I am. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And knowing that bring you freedom. Praise God. So the worshiper will have access into the very core of God's desires, as he has the heart, as he has the closest place in God's heart. My goodness. God reveals his desires and speaks his word to those who are nearest to him and who will seek him with a passionate heart. Hallelujah. And then in Revelations 19 and 10, it says, then I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, do not do that, for I'm a fellow servant of yours and your brethren who hold the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So finally, worshipers know that the true power of success is in the obedience, is the act of total obedience. Let me say this. When we're talking about these governing principles, we're talking about how, you know, we are with this apostolic. Once we come into the apostolic, we have to be discipled and we have to be mentored. And God is carrying us through a process. Like Apostle was saying tonight, you have to have patience to be able to endure the process. Yes, yes, yes. You understand what I'm saying? Yes. Because the whole thing is to carry out God's plan and God's purposes in the earth. And so we can't get sidetracked. We can't get sidetracked, you know, with what all is going on around us, who all is against us. Let them be against us. So what? We got work to do. We the church has spent so much time, you know, with all kind of stuff within the walls of the church, you know, all kind of confusion, all kind of mess and stuff like that until, you know, the whole lot of work hadn't been done. So, what God is bringing back now, I'm not saying what God is bringing back, what God is unfolding to us, because it never left. That's right. That's right. But what God is unfolding to us, God is unfolding to us how the apostolic really is supposed to operate, because, you know, we are all, the only way we just operated really with part of the ministry gifts. You know, we recognize the pastor, we recognize, you know, the evangelist and teacher, but we didn't, you know, when it come down to really the apostolic and the prophetic, you know, we didn't really recognize them. You understand what I'm saying? And this was the missing part. So now when it sounds like, you know, it sounds like we're hearing something new, and we are, but it was what God had already designed for us to hear. But we have been smothered by religion and tradition and the doctrine of men till we never got exposed to this part. Now, what God is doing, God is exposing the mystery to us. He's unfolding it through the apostle. Yes, sir. And so that the church can be the triumphant entity that it's supposed to be, that God intended for it to be. We're not weak. Yes, we're not weak. We are not weak. And so now the only way this can happen is that the leader has to be the leader, and the people have to learn how to follow the leader.
Yes, sir. Yes,
sir. Get that leader spirit.
Yes,
see, apostolic really is about reproduction.
Yes, sir.
That's what it's about. That's what it is. It's about reproduction. It's about reproducing.
Yes, sir.
You understand what I'm saying? When apostle is teaching us, we know what he's doing? The same thing that Jesus did. Jesus was only reproducing himself in his disciples.
Yes, sir. Uh-huh.
You understand what I'm saying? So that they can do the work that he did.
Yes, sir.
So if they sat around and they weren't grabbing it, and so when Jesus went up, you remember that was time when Jesus said, how long I'm gonna be with you?
Yeah.
Y'all hadn't got it yet. You know, and we don't want an apostle to say that. How long am I going to have to keep on going over and over with this with you, and you still hadn't got it yet?
Yeah.
You know, and when he sees somebody, you know, who's not really walking in the victory they're supposed to walk in, you know, and he know that he's been plowing and he's been giving it out and he's been staying up all night and he's been before God and he's been releasing it to us.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why it's so important not to just to hear a word, but we got the archives, man. We can go to that.
Yes,
I mean,
yes,
we can just go to the archive, just hear it over and over and over and over and over and over.
Yes,
you know, so that we can really have it down in us, so that we can walk in it.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe we're the generation.
Yes.
Just like he said tonight, that's why God had us to be a part of this school.
Yes.
Because these are the people here. I'm telling you, there is going to be a sound.
Uh-huh.
Now, I'm not going to say that there's going to be a sound. There is a sound that's coming from Darrow.
Yes.
There is a sound. I'm talking about, and it's resonating all over the world.
Yes.
I'm telling you, let me tell you something. I'm going to be through with it. Years ago, you know, being in Baton Rouge where I was, and, you know, I was called to preach. And so I heard of this place called Darrow. But, and so I had a guy who told me, say, man, you need to get to Darrow. You know, this was before I came to school down here. Say, man, you need to get to Darrow. And so I said, what's going on down in Darrow? And so I was with a pastor at the time. And so he said, they got a school going on. So I went and talked to my pastor. I said, they got a school in Darrow. I'd like to go to it. Oh, no, you don't need to go down there. You don't need to. No. I'm going to do something right in the house where I'm going to train and I'm going to teach you and that kind of thing and stuff. And that was kind of in the atmosphere around Baton Rouge. It's still out there.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
They did not want folk to get down here. It's still like that. They did not want folk to get down here. Look, watch this. It was not until I left that church. Now, I told you, I never just jumped out of a church. My pastor, the pastor that turned the church over to me where I am, he came over to the church I was at. He asked my pastor, he said, how many preachers you got? He said, I got five. He said, good. The Lord told me to take this one. He was talking about me. And so he rescued me. And I told him, I said, well, look, I want to go to school in Darrow. He said, yeah, son, go.
Uh-huh.
And I got down to Darrow. And so Dr. Thompson walks out the back. And the Lord says to me, that's the man. Now, I didn't know that the Lord was telling me at the time that was the man I was supposed to follow. But I took it that that's the man with the word in his mouth. This is the man that the folk in Baton Rouge fearing. And when he opened his mouth, I saw why. And I saw the anointing that was on his life. And it was something I hadn't seen before.
Yes, sir.
In the area where I was. And then I understood. This is what it is. This is what. And so this is my version of Darrow. And Apostle. He is the best kept secret in America.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Glory,
hallelujah. Glory to God. And the thing about it is, let me tell you something. We getting so much training now. I'm so glad God has held the multitude back. Sooner we get to the place where God get us at, he can turn them loose there, but we want them. I'm glad the multitudes are on hold. Hallelujah. Because I'm telling you, just like I'm through, y'all. Praise the Lord. I'm through. Praise God. Amen.